Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The military seizes power in Myanmar.
Human Rights Watch says it's monitoring reports that dozens of people have been detained, including activists as well as prominent politicians.
We'll have the latest on the coup, which has detained members of the ruling party. And in the U.S., the effort to vaccinate the country from COVID-19 is involving businesses, big and small.
Startups are nimble and they can pivot quickly when they see an opportunity.
Plus, a winter storm in the Northeast is already impacting vaccinations. It's Monday, February 1st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. We begin in Myanmar, where the military has taken charge in a coup. Civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi and other members of her party were detained in a Monday morning raid. It's seen as a big blow to the country's transition from military rule to democracy, which began about a decade ago. The WSJ's Feliz Solomon has more.
The situation on the ground is very tense and uncertain. I've spoken with human rights defenders and local journalists who say they're worried about a wider crackdown. Basically, an announcement was made earlier today on a military-run TV channel that power has been transferred to the commander-in-chief and a state of emergency has been declared for a year. The reason is the army alleges that there was voter fraud in elections held last November, which were won in a landslide by the ruling National League for Democracy Party. The army said in a recent statement that it doesn't contest the election results, but it contests the electoral process.
Parliament was scheduled to convene on Monday for its first session since the election. The country's election commission has denied the claims of fraud. Myanmar's military couldn't be reached for comment. President Biden's spokeswoman said he'd been briefed on the situation. We're reporting exclusively the chief executives of oil giants ExxonMobil and Chevron talked about a possible merger. According to people familiar with the talks, the discussions began after the pandemic destroyed demand for oil and gas. The conversations were described as preliminary and aren't ongoing, but were told they could come back in the future. Such a deal could be one of the largest corporate mergers ever. President Biden has invited a group of 10 Republican senators to the White House to discuss a potential bipartisan coronavirus relief bill early this week. GOP lawmakers have proposed a $600 billion plan, well short of the president's $1.9 trillion package. Separately, Democratic leaders have said they plan to begin a legislative process that would bypass the need for Republican support. Aides say the first step could come as soon as today. A new emergency order from the CDC will make mask wearing mandatory on nearly all forms of public transportation and inside transportation hubs starting on Tuesday. The mandate applies to most travelers and commuters over the age of 2. Failure to comply would be a violation of a federal law, and boarding could also be denied. We are exclusively reporting that Melvin Capital Management, the hedge fund that heavily betted on GameStop and others, lost 53% on its investments in January, according to people familiar with the firm. Trading in GameStop is set to resume today, but retail investors are also powering swings for SPACs, often known as blank check companies. Let's talk about this with markets editor Quinton Webb in Hong Kong. Hello, Quinton.
Hi, Mark.
Quinton, as discussed on the show before, SPACs are a way for companies to go public without going through the traditional IPO. The data shows there is noticeable interest and investment by day traders.
That's right. So if you like, two of these hot trends on Wall Street are now colliding. On the one hand, you have this explosion of day trading by individual investors. And then on the other hand, you have this explosion in the listing of so-called blank check companies, which don't have any business when they go public, but then kind of scour the globe for a suitable business to merge with and to take that business public. So those two things now seem to be combining.
Let's talk about the risks, because SPACs are not immune.
That's right. So if you were to buy into a SPAC whilst it's trading, but before it's identified a target, you don't really know what you're getting yourself in for. You know that there's a pool of money, and maybe if you're buying at a premium, you're spending a bit more than the actual value of the cash that's in the business. But you don't know what business it's eventually going to unveil a merger with. You don't know on what terms it's going to unveil a merger. And perhaps it might not be able to find a suitable partner at all.
Quentin Webb, thank you as always. A quick note, you can read more about the interest among retail investors towards SPACs in today's Wall Street Journal. Just ahead, the role of health tech startups in helping to vaccinate Americans after the quick break.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Vaccinating Americans against COVID-19 is a Herculean task. Governments and big healthcare companies are mobilizing in the effort. Big chain pharmacies like CVS, Walgreens, Walmart, and Kroger say they're ready to give tens of millions of shots a month. But there are also some smaller companies joining the effort. Brian Gormley covers health tech startups for WSJ Pro Venture Capital. He's been looking into this and joins me from Boston. Brian, glad you're here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Brian, what is it that these healthcare-focused startups can bring to the table?
Startups are nimble and they can pivot quickly when they see an opportunity. And health technology companies have software that can be purpose-built or adapted specifically for vaccination campaigns. They handle tasks such as high-volume sign-ups of people for the initial vaccine shots, tracking who's eligible to receive the shots, ensuring that people come back for their booster shots when the time is right. And these are all technologies that just help governments, healthcare officials, just manage the whole logistical and technological challenge of distributing vaccines.
And these systems are being used right now.
That's right. Some, for example, a company called Carbon Health is working with the city of Los Angeles on its vaccination program, providing technology that's used for the sign up and alerting people when it's time for their booster shots and providing administrative oversight. So this is something that's already being done, and we'll probably see a lot more of this going forward.
That goes into my next question, Brian. From a business standpoint, startups are always looking for opportunities. Is this a new space for them?
Yes. Generally speaking, startups have been very responsive to the COVID-19 pandemic. A number of companies have pivoted their operations to focus almost entirely on the pandemic. Many others have adapted their existing products or developed new ones to confront the pandemic. So this is something that a number of companies are going to be evaluating opportunities to address in some fashion.
Is there money to be made for startups in this arena, or is this a moral calling?
There is money to be made. I think the entrepreneurs who are addressing the crisis do feel a compulsion to provide their assistance in any way they can. But it certainly is a business opportunity for them. It's a way to showcase their technology and their ability to handle a very high stakes task, which is assisting with this vaccine rollout.
How are these companies being discovered? Are they marketing themselves?
In some cases, they already have relationships with healthcare clients, and they are deepening those ties through providing technology that is specifically for vaccination campaigns. In other cases, they are putting themselves out there as companies that can provide technology to address the crisis. And so I would say it's a combination of existing relationships and seeking to get their business out there.
This notion of vaccinating the population is such a massive task. Is this private-public partnership a guide for the future?
I think it is. I think we're going to see how well it goes with the vaccine rollout and the impact that technology companies can have on the process. And if it goes well, I would think that we'll see more collaboration in the future and perhaps a blueprint for how it could be done effectively.
The Wall Street Journal's Brian Gormley. Brian, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
And finally, the chance to be a kid once again. These are the sounds of a friendly snowball fight on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. It's the first time the city has received more than a half an inch of snow in more than 2 years. Meantime, parts of the Northeast are bracing for a major winter storm tonight into Tuesday. According to the National Weather Service, in addition to heavy snow and strong winds, there could also be coastal flooding. And in some parts of New York and New Jersey, COVID-19 vaccination sites are temporarily closed. And that's what's news for this Monday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, you can follow the day's top stories on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thank you for starting the week with us, and thanks for listening.